All right, you're on the arms of McGlenn.
And John.
Woo!
Word.
It is 102 degrees already. It's only 10 a.m.
Holy shit, it's like it's summertime in Phoenix again.
Man. Yeah, but it seems hot early.
No, it's actually late. It's after mid-June.
Yeah?
Yeah,
dude, it was 119 yesterday at the range. That seems hotter than it normally is this time of year.
That's a little bit warmer, but it's later in the year.
No.
So.
I didn't love it.
Yeah, it's great. I love walking outside and my face melting off. You know what's great, though? My kids, they don't even notice.
Oh, they don't care. Kids,
they don't give a shit. They're like, well, we'll go outside and play, Dad. Don't put your shoes on. No. Okay. Oh, ow, ow, hot, hot. Dad, I need my shoes. Really?
Shocker.
This is Dad's surprise face.
It's almost like I've done this before.
Now, here's something to keep in mind. Of course, it does get hotter. Remember to stay hydrated.
Yeah, drink more energy drinks. I mean, water.
And beer. More energy drinks and alcohol.
There's no replacement for water, so make sure you're drinking water throughout the day. You
There's
need
water
to drink
in
water.
Alcohol.
Yeah, but it's not enough, and your body doesn't process the same way. Drink lots of water. And more importantly is carry extra water. You know, you never know when you're going to break down.
Get stuck
vehicle.
In the I-17 parking lot.
You get know when you're getting stuck in some freeway parking lot. Never know when something crazy is going to happen. You're going to end up stranded where you're at. Take extra water. And I have to thank John on the air.
Uh-oh.
For his love and consideration.
Oh, God.
Oh, wait. Oh, shit. We're not talking about that.
No.
Oh, yeah. So I have to thank... excuse me. Let me back up. I have to thank John for this other thing on the air.
Oh.
So John actually... So we're big fans of like Hydro Flask and Hydro Flask-esque products around here. Because we have different brands because there's different brands.
Because I'm cheap.
So...
you can say it.
I have been kind of bouncing back and forth on getting one of the big growlers. Not because it was like a cost prohibitive thing. It was just because it was this big... water jug, and I didn't really know if I wanted to carry it around with me. So John, being a good friend, went out and bought me one of the big, I don't know how many ounces those things are.
64.
64.
All of the ounces.
Freaking huge.
All the ounces.
So it gives me two full refills on my normal 32-ounce, so I'm rolling around with 100 ounces of water, and that is an awesome piece of gear. I have been every single day before I leave the house, I fill up with water, half ice, and I have ice. Regardless of whether I leave it in the truck or burning out in the sun, I have ice all day long. So then what's nice is I can take the warm water that's sometimes hanging out in my truck, like in the cooler or whatever, you know, in a water bottle, and I'm like, ugh, I don't really like this. Pour it in that jug, boom, instant cool water. Products like that, I feel like for Arizonans, for anyone who's in a hot environment, you need them in your life.
And just like we need a sponsorship from Hydro Flask in our life.
Also, if you're from Hydro Flask.
Or 50-50.
Or 50-50.
Yeti or Yeti, Arctic. It doesn't matter.
I'd take any of them.
We're equal opportunity scavengers. We'll take whatever you want.
We use all of them, so whatever. We had a great weekend. We had an open house on Saturday out at the Tactical Medic Dirt Medicine open house that was way better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, especially considering the parking lot concerns that were going on.
Yeah, so they,
that was kind of funny.
Oh my gosh. So Sean calls me the night before. He'd warned me a couple days before, hey, I think they might do this. He calls me the night before, like, late. Like, dude, they're resurfacing the whole parking lot, front and back.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. There's basically no way for people to get in the front door. I was like, no. We figured it out. We adapted. We improvised. We overcame. It worked out. We had a great turnout. I taught four kind of mini classes. And each one of them had a lot of people in. The first one had the one I taught about first aid for kids. It took 20 kids in it. Between the ages, we had the youngest, I think,
really?
Was 7.
Wow.
And the oldest was 17. So it
well,
was
it big. Started out with 20 kids and ended with 19.
Yeah, well, you know, that's...
someone's got to be the dummy.
That's a 5% loss, dude. That's always...
It's totally acceptable.
Yeah, dude, if we went into combat and only sustained a 5% loss, we'd be
and,
ecstatic.
Yeah, if we went into battle and only lost one kid...
Oh, whatever. God saw fit to give me 2.
There you go. You got a backup.
So the open house was a lot of fun. John was there with Redwire gear, Mike with Riker Nylon gear, Jeremy and Delight, who were on the show recently with CapTac, Marty from The Well-Armed Woman, who's also been on the show, obviously Sean, of course. Pretty much everybody there actually has been on our show at some point in time in the past.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. I mean, people came in, man. They learned a lot. They got to see a lot of cool stuff. They got to buy some cool gear, and some people didn't even know Sean's shop was there.
Yeah, there's a lot of those people.
That was cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, I felt like it was a pretty good experience. And then the rest of the weekend, we've had lots of training. I've been outside most of the weekend. cooking. So glad to be indoors today.
Nice.
So happy.
I didn't do anything yesterday.
Oh, man.
I went to Chipotle for lunch.
Yeah?
And then I basically went home and napped.
Oh, God.
It was great.
I had training from like 8. Well, see, I was on the range from 7 until about 4. I went home, hung out with my family a little bit for Father's Day, and then brought them back to the range with me and did some 50 cal stuff with a buddy of mine who was in from out of town. And my family did our big 22 organic shoot.
Nice.
We were at the range till like 9, which was okay because it was not the sun baking on your ass.
It's the only time you can go out and it's not hot as balls.
It really is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was great. Wednesday night steel coming up, of course, this Wednesday. If you're not shooting it,
you're wrong.
Do it. If it's going to be a little warm this week, that's okay. Still come out. Still have fun. A great opportunity for you to get out and test your practical skills. We're different. We're doing it differently at Cowtown Range and Wednesday night steel than they do it at other ranges. So lots
wait and come out about 6.
6 is probably, I would say, the ideal time to come out. Between 6 and 6:30. Because we have a very unique situation at our range where most ranges face north to south that I'm aware of here in this area.
Yeah.
PRG, Ben Avery, Rio, they all face north to south, right?
Cowtown's an east-west range.
Cowtown's east-west. So as the sun sets, we have this huge ridge line that separates our range right down the middle, and all of our bays, all our pistol bays and everything are on the east side of that mountain. So mm-hmm. when the sun dips about 6, 6:30, man, it's nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. And it's amazing. You know, I was up this morning early. I had to take my son somewhere early this morning, and it was like 5 a.m., and it was 81, and
yeah.
it felt so damn good
yeah.
to be outside. So it does make a difference. It makes a huge difference. So, yeah, if you're going to come out to Wednesday night still and your schedule allows it, try to come out around 6, 6:30.
Not about 6. Stay for a couple hours, have some fun, do some shooting.
Enjoy it. Independence Day Action Rifle Match coming up July 4th, just a couple weeks now.
That is going to be so much fun.
Oh, it's always fun. It's always hot and gross tons and tons of fun. We have some really awesome stages. We have some really awesome sponsors. Definitely an opportunity to come out and walk away with some cool stuff. Plus, 25% of all our proceeds are going to the Phoenix Children's Hospital. And I have to say something real quick about the caliber of our students. So I've always felt that independence training, because of how we do what we do,
mm-hmm.
that we attract a certain type of client.
That's true.
We don't really have douchebag students. Like, I hear from other instructors, people like, oh, God, and then this one student, and then this one time. And I'm like, we don't really have that many stories. Like, every now and then.
It happens.
But those people usually don't come back.
They either don't come back or
about halfway through the class, they're like,
They're kind of like, I need to cool my jets, you know?
Yeah.
So we don't really experience this, right? And I feel like we even attract just this amazing, amazing quality of student. We have received from only two individuals $600. I shouldn't say two individuals, one family and then one individual. Well, let's say two families. Let's just say that. From two different families,
mm-hmm.
we have received $600 of donations because they can't attend Independence Day Action Rifle Match and they wanted to, and they still wanted to make a donation.
Nice.
I don't have words. It's so awesome.
That's a good word.
It's just incredible. So that's going to boost that much more what we're able to buy and the toys and the art supplies and everything that we buy for those kids over there. I mean, I'm just freaking cool, man.
Word.
Freaking awesome.
Rotten kids taking my toys and stuff.
You shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth. I do want to mention, you know, we had William April on the on the show with us a couple months ago, maybe, or a month ago or something.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And it was a really well-received show.
He's going to be here.
He is, and I wanted to bring that up. July 7th to the 9th is the Unthinkable class with William April and also Cecil Birch.
Yeah.
It's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday?
It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And it's the 8th to the...
Whatever.
It's the 7th through the 9th. I'm looking at the calendar right here. The 7th of July is a Friday, then 8 is a Saturday.
I have drill. I have Army, so I can't go to that class.
So 7 to 9 is the Unthinkable class of William April. If you have the opportunity to take this, and you can get more information. I don't remember what the exact hours are and everything. You can get more information on his website, which is April Risk Consulting, April with two L's, April Risk Consulting. You can also contact Cecil Birch through Immediate Action Combatives, which is iacombatives.com, and get with them and get the information on the class. If you can't find, just email us info@trainingaz.com, and I will freaking get it to you. I'm going to be there. I love training with William. He just blows your mind when it comes to how much he knows about bad guy behavior and what to look for. And if you have the opportunity to attend the class, please attend the class. I would take this class before you take another freaking carbine class, okay? Which, look, we teach carbine classes, so please take our carbine classes. But before you do another one of those, before you do another long-range shooting class, if you are an armed citizen and you haven't taken this type of class before, where you're going to delve into the psychology and the mentality behind the people that you carry a gun to stop, then you need to take this class. Put your training dollars here. All right? Even over going to another class with us, if you got to put that off for a couple months, go to the William April class, because I care about my students that much. I would say go to this class before you come to another class with us that's going to be, you know, another high-speed class. So check that out. Crazy shit in DC.
Yeah.
Shooters, bad guys, SKS, Woodstocked SKS, which of course is why it's not a big deal.
No, it doesn't fit the profile.
It's a goddamn semi-automatic rifle, just like the freaking AR-15.
Whoa!
It's magazine fed, just like the AR-15. No. But it's not a bad gun.
Because it doesn't have a pistol grip.
Because it doesn't have a pistol grip and it's not black. I feel like that's discriminatory.
Yeah, that's gun racist.
That's gun racist.
Gunsist.
I mean, not that I'm not saying obviously that it's bad that it's not an AR-15. It's just
too bad it wasn't an AR-15.
Come on, man. You know, the media blows my mind.
Now, let's be totally honest. Had it been an AR-15, the whole industry would be in a lot better shape than
that. Is true. Our industry actually would be on the rise if it wasn't an AR-15. So damn you for using an SKS. But of course, as typical, I'm gonna relay some facts here.
Bernie Sanders supporter,
active shooter, registered Democrat,
hardcore Bernie supporter.
Hardcore support of the other side.
Yep.
Can't hit shit. So you Antifa queers, you go ahead and fire up that Civil War. You please. Do your thing.
Please.
I've seen your videos.
Let's party.
It's a joke. My kids, party. My children shoot better and know better tactics than you do. Baseball field. Static targets. Can't kill anyone. I'm saying that from both sides. One, I'm glad he didn't. Two,
well, he was also pretty
holy
old.
Holy shit. My dad is old.
Well, oh, this guy's obviously not your dad.
Fortunately for those people.
Yeah, no kidding. Or we'd be telling a completely different story.
So let's talk about the positive side. Positive side, two Capitol Hill police. Damn good. Job well done.
Yeah.
Took the field, initiated contact. That's what I love about them. They didn't sit back and wait. No. They didn't find cover. They moved forward. They aggressed on him. They corralled him behind the dugout. One of them got shot. He's making a full recovery. The smoke checked this jackass to the next freaking dimension, which is awesome.
That was my favorite part about President Trump's speech. He's like, and the assailant did not survive his wounds.
You know what else love about what happened with President Trump? He canceled his birthday party. 71st birthday party.
Oh my God, that guy's that old?
Yeah.
He doesn't look that
to
old.
To go see the wounded congressman.
Good for him. It's like a real American.
That's class, dude. That's class. Even if you don't like the guy, which I happen to, but even if you don't.
Yeah, well, I think he's kind of an asshole.
You can't look at that and say, like, hey, that's class.
Yeah, it's classy.
Well, you can, and there's obviously half of America that does.
Yeah. So, yeah, good stuff. Redwire gear moment.
Oh, wait, there's other news.
Oh,
Jesus.
I don't know what to do. Okay, go.
Go.
There was an insider attack in Afghanistan wounding, I think, 3 U.S. service members. They smoke checked the dude that did it, though.
So another dead bad guy?
Yep, another dead bad
service
guy.
Service members die or good to go?
I don't know. I think they're still injured. It literally just happened yesterday, like day before yesterday. So.
Oh, shit.
Saturday. Oh, there was also the container ship that crashed into the Fitzgerald, the USS?
Yeah, and there was those 7 sailors, I believe, were killed in that.
Yeah,
7.
Yeah, well, maybe more than that.
Like, I'm not, like, I know a little bit about the size of boats, and container ships are obviously huge, but Navy vessels kind of have this open water thing, and if you get within so close, they'll sink you.
Things, like,
I'm not sure how this happened or where it happened, but Holy shit.
Yeah, a crash on the ocean. Oceans are big.
Yeah, I've been on it. It's huge.
Yeah. Pretty big thing. Yeah.
So that definitely sucks for those guys. And then there was an attack in London again yesterday. But this time it was someone ran their car through a crowd in a mosque and killed like killed one Muslim guy and injured like 15 more. But I mean, think about it. Like, eventually you piss off enough people and someone is going to do something bad back to you, right? And I guess someone did. It was like some 45-year-old person, evidently, is the one who did it. They're not calling it a terrorist attack, but it was like an anti-terrorist attack. I don't know. Obviously, it was an act of terrorism, but yeah, like an act of revenge. So I think he killed one and wounded like 10 or 15 more, something like that. So
sad.
Yep. You keep messing with people enough, and eventually they're gonna
keep poking the bear.
Yeah, do it again. So that's tragic, though. Okay, now that's it.
All right, Redbird, your moment, go.
All right, so just a reminder, because it's summertime, all of our listeners get a 5% discount on the redwiregear.com on the website. The code is ARMSROOMSHOW, all caps, for 5% off. That's all I got for you today.
That's it?
That's it, man.
Can I do my special segment now?
Yes.
You have something interesting to say?
We talked about this like 7 times, guy. The reviews.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Mason sends me this message last week and was like, hey, have you ever looked at the reviews on Podbean? I'm like, no, I haven't.
Podcast.
I look at the Facebook stuff, and I try to reply to anyone who sends us any information or messages or whatever through the Arms Room Facebook page. Then Mason's like, well, you need to check out these two reviews, which are pretty freaking hilarious. Go ahead, man.
So I have 3 on my phone right there. One positive one. Well, on the podcast page, there are 3 positive reviews and 2 negative ones. I'm going to read 3 reviews to the 2 negative ones because they're funny. And then because I like to finish off on a positive note, I'm going to read the positive one at the end. All right.
Aww.
So,
it's awfully millennial of you.
Yes, I always like to be happy at the end. Happy endings are great. Literally and figuratively.
Go.
Okay. Get go, so anyway, man.
So the way that they have break it down, it's the title of the review, then the person's name, then the actual review. Okay, so this first review is Not Sure by JMurra256. I'm going to call people out, too, on this.
Thanks,
Jay. I don't know if they actually listen to the show
anymore. Thank
you
for taking the time to leave this review.
Great. His review says, the You're Dumber and I'm Smarter Than You podcast.
Well, don't feel fucking stupid, then you won't feel stupid, you stupid idiot.
You're not wrong, because here at the Arms Room, we're better than you, and we know it.
And we know it.
This one is my personal favorite one, of course. Okay. The title of this review is A Bunch of Children.
All right.
And the person who wrote this is Benja455, and their review says...
Thanks, Benja455.
Thank you. Thank you for this in advance. I'd rather just go to a frat house for this level of juvenile conversation.
True.
At least there would be free beer. And to
There's
that,
free
I
beer if you show up.
Here. And to that, I would say, joke's on you, I ain't never went to college before. So, ha.
I went to community college.
I didn't say, none of us actually went to a frat house, so...
I win that battle. And then the positive review, because we like to be happy.
Of course.
Is my thing still working? Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
This one is the title of this one is Awesome Podcast by JBomb07701.
So thanks, JBomb07701. Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Close enough.
07, yeah. And his reads, 5 stars, of course, because we're awesome. Stumbled on this podcast while just exploring firearms training. I ended up listening to as many episodes as were available on iTunes. I followed their Facebook and now Instagram. These guys are funny and give a lot of useful and great information. Keep up the good work, guys.
Thanks.
That's right.
And you keep up the good work, sir.
Yes.
Or madam. I mean, I guess I don't really know, but...
How dare you assume that gender?
Don't assume their gender, dude.
Or crocodile or dog or whatever you are identifying as. Thank you for listening to our show.
Whatever.
Crocodog. Nice.
It's you, the listeners, that keep this going.
I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed those reviews when you sent them to me. I laughed.
Although, to be fair, even if no one listened to our show, I think we'd probably still do some of this stuff anyway.
I thought that the I'm smarter and you're dumber thing, whatever that said, was probably the best one.
Yes.
That was my favorite. The juvenile thing, yeah, I know, we're juvenile, I get it.
Yeah, like, you don't listen to this show because you want some highbrow, intelligent, like, indubitably. You
know. Who is offended by someone who knows more than them? Like, I know a lot of people who know a lot more than me. Who is offended by that?
You know, unfortunately, Glenn, a lot of America is
offended. What a piece of shit.
Like, they know more than me. How dare you have more knowledge than I do? I hate you.
Yeah, we do, because this is what
we do.
So
here's the thing, though. Idiot. It's okay to be smarter than everyone else. You just can't tell them
all
the time.
Just don't be a dick.
It's like being a hero. You can't ever tell anyone you're a hero, right?
Yeah.
First rule of being a hero is you're not allowed to acknowledge you're a hero.
Exactly. Unless you're Superman.
Or unless you want a free beer someplace and you want to be a veteran. And you're like, I'm a goddamn American hero.
I'm a goddamn veteran. Where's my free beer? Yeah, that's
that.
Right.
Give me that.
Oh,
free
God.
Beer.
I'll say it.
Please don't.
So, yeah. On that note, leave us reviews, please. There's
it's
good,
awesome.
Bad, or ugly. We don't care.
Jump on Instagram and like us, please. We're still like really, really far behind on our followers. So if you're an Instagram user, please jump on there and like us, follow us, whatever. If you're a social media person, otherwise, Facebook, jump on, like us, follow us. Leave us a review on there. If
and
you
if
like
it's
the
really
show.
Funny. Maybe we'll read it.
Yeah, and if it's really funny, we'll definitely read it. We get a lot of great reviews on the Arms Room Facebook page. I've never read them before. Maybe we should start. But there's a lot of great ones on there. So if you have something to say about the show, leave it on there. If you have show ideas, we're about to start our next calendar. Leave us some show ideas.
Super negative, bring it on.
Yeah, and if you don't like us, we're cool with that too. We'll make fun of you on the air. And then
we are a bunch of juveniles.
We're a bunch of juveniles. You know more than you, apparently.
And frat boys.
Yeah, even though none of us went to a fraternity. Other than fraternity in USR.
We're in the biggest fraternity on the planet, tell you what.
I had to be Mason to it. I had to
you
be
bastard.
Into it,
you
John.
Saw the light
I
in my eyes.
I saw it coming.
Oh,
I had
God.
To jump onto it.
You
I apologize
what?
To all of our listeners.
Here's my notes for
I'm
the
sorry.
Show.
I'm sorry to I everybody. I didn't mean it.
I can't be involved in this.
It's
anymore.
Nice to not be the Mason on the show for once. Like, that's kind of nice.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. Okay, today's show, we're going to be talking about...
We're going to have a guided discussion between Glenn and John and Mason. And yes. If you're on Facebook listening live or Instagram, hit us up if you've got questions.
Yeah. I got the Facebook pulled up right now. We're going to be talking about explosive attacks, myths and misconceptions, and some of the concepts about... What's going on in the world today with these kind of things? How big of a threat are they? What's the reality if you get yourself caught up in one? What are priorities? All that kind of stuff. So
God. This
is going to be basically John's show.
Yay!
Because
well,
I lit off a firecracker once, but beyond that.
I know.
So
a guy
I honestly feel like the best way to run this show is kind of how you and I were talking about it on the phone the other night.
Yeah.
You guys pose some questions, I'll give some answers, and then I'll end up on some tangents and stuff. And I honestly think that's going to be the best way to handle this, is just kind of an open forum kind of thing. But I'll start off with this. Explosives are not complicated. They're really not. Give it a Google. This is not going to be about how to make explosives.
Nope.
It's going to kind of break down the reality of the threat of an explosive attack in the U.S., which... actually fairly minimal. However, it's obviously a little bit higher if you're traveling overseas, as we've seen more and more of this is happening there. It's a little bit harder sometimes to make these types of things happen here in the U.S. because of laws and restrictions. And, you know, regardless of how you feel about federal law enforcement and all the alphabet agencies, they actually, holy God, you have no idea. The stuff they're stopping from happening and preventing from happening and the training that goes into it. And there's a lot that goes on that the majority of the American public never even knows about, which is best. So, yeah.
Okay. So I want to preface this a little bit without, you know, going too persec opsec here on John is that.
Oh, I'll tell everybody. I served 4 years in the Marine Corps. I got out. Decided to become a National Guardsman because that's where old Marines go to die.
That's correct.
I decided that the only job I could have there is as an EOD technician. So that's what I did. I've been there, been in the Guard for about a decade, been an EOD tech for a little over almost 9 years now. So a couple of deployments, several follow-on schools, and countless hours of training and discussions with guys that have been doing this longer than I have in far more places than I have.
And John's had an opportunity as as an EOD tech to work with a lot of alphabet agencies and had the opportunity to work around the country and even around the world with some of these guys. So understand that while John's experience, like everyone's experience,
it's
anecdotal and in a relatively narrow lane compared to all of the experience and knowledge out there. We also consider John to be, you know, definitely knowledgeable as an NCO in his unit, as a guy with some time spent doing this kind of stuff. So what we're saying here is that we're not just pulling this information out of our ass.
John is our expert.
John is our expert.
I'm not sure how I felt about that one.
Yeah. All right. So, kind of, what do we start? We had a conversation about this conversation the other night. So, what are we going to do here?
Basically, I'll go over a couple of super, like, two terms really easy because these are two common terms that a lot of people hear. A lot of people kind of know, but a lot of people also don't know. So, you've got IED, which is an improvised explosive device.
Not to be confused with IUD.
Yeah.
Which Mason often confuses it with for some reason.
Yeah, super weird.
They're both dangerous.
So I did some Googling, and DHS has a really good page. That little downloadable thing about this is actually pretty interesting. It covers a couple of the major attacks that have happened in the U.S. and abroad. But the way the Department of Homeland Security, because this is most applicable, defines an IED, it's the use of a homemade bomb and or destructive device to destroy, incapacitate, harass, or distract. That's pretty much an IED. It's basically anything that's not supposed to explode, where you take a bunch of crap, you put it together, and you make it explode. So that's an IED. And HME, which isn't as common, it's homemade explosives. Not as common here in the U.S. Most of the explosive attacks that happen in the U.S. are black powder or commercially available stuff.
Yeah.
But the homemade explosives were real big in Afghanistan and Iraq because we really started to crack down on the availability of ordnance. We were destroying weapons caches, and it was getting harder and harder for them to maintain their ordnance levels. Mm-hmm. So, which is military munitions, just to put that out there. So they started going back kind of old school and making their own stuff, mostly fertilizer-based stuff, but there's a ton of stuff out there, and none of it's super hard to make, but don't do it at all because you'll kill yourself if you don't know what you're doing.
So this was kind of one of the questions that I had for you, which is, what is the realistic threat of the kind of explosive attacks that we're seeing overseas, excuse me, in America? I mean, how likely is it to see that kind of, where someone's just going to strap a bomb on
their I don't know that we'll ever
blow it up.
In my opinion, I don't know that we'll ever see like the mass suicide attacks like you see in some of these other places, just because the divide and the rift is not that big here. We have a pretty good level of solidarity.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of infighting, Republican to Democrat, and I hate guns, I love guns. Like, there's a lot of that type of stuff. But as a whole, America is fairly solid, and no one's trying to take over our borders because we push them out of their lands or any of the other things that are going on, like Iraq and Afghanistan. There's not a lot of, like, the religious zealots that are trying to take over the world because their God's the only God, and poop on your God, and I'm going to kill you because you don't believe in the same God that I do.
Okay.
So, like, that type of stuff, I don't expect to see happen a lot in the U.S. As far as the suicide bomber type stuff goes. I think once this starts to happen in the U.S., I think you'll see more attacks like you've seen in the past. World Trade Centers in 93, Oklahoma City Federal Building bombing in 95. Coincidentally, both of those were fertilizer-based explosives.
Right.
One was urea nitrate, and the other one was ammonium nitrate. I think you'll start to see stuff like that. The Boston Marathon, Olympic Park bombing. Like, you'll start to see smaller devices. And it's more of a panic and scare and, oh, I have this weird manifesto, you know, like the Unabomber. Like, the dude, just a weird dude, and sent out a bunch of small bombs at very specific people. You know, and then you get the Timothy McVeigh thing. He was all pissy about whatever. Thankfully, he actually didn't know what he was doing as well as he could have known, or he would have leveled that building. Mm-hmm. Like, there would have been nothing left of the federal building, period, at all, because he didn't quite understand explosive wave propagation. Mm-hmm. So you'll start to see, I think once or if it comes to that, you'll start to see more of these larger scale attacks, more of these attacking the marathons, the shopping malls. Like, you'll start to see that type of stuff. And the absolute simple basic reality of the situation is once someone decides that they're going to do this, unless law enforcement stops them beforehand, it's going to happen. There's nothing you can do to stop it. There's nothing you can do to prevent it.
And I would be willing to bet that 9 times out of 10, you're not going to know it's happening until it's actually happening.
So let me ask your opinion on this then. We've got this stuff happening overseas, and we mm-hmm. see that a lot more. Like you said, it's happened here at home.
It's happened a few times, certainly. But generally much larger scale is on, the majority of what we've
blowing
seen.
Blowing up buildings and yeah. stuff like that, right? So, but overseas, you know, we had the recent Ariana Grande thing mm-hmm. and stuff like that. We've had the subway bombings in London and that. So how come you have such faith in our alphabet agencies to stop explosive attacks here, but that doesn't seem to extend to our friends across the pond?
Because I sort of kind of can't answer that question.
Well, I know that obviously there's...
So the reality of the situation is there are people that work in our alphabet agencies that are solely dedicated to this, and I'm sure it's the same way around the globe. But there are people, and I know some of them here in this area, that is their sole purpose in life, is to stop this type of shit from happening. Sure. Period.
Like, I got a buddy who works for an alphabet agency here.
Yeah.
Who his whole job all day
mm-hmm.
is figuring out
and we have this some kind of stuff. The most advanced technology and surveillance and tracking, and like, we have the ability to see these things coming, because regardless of how the American public feels about profiling still happens in law enforcement. Period. It does. They have to, because it's not profiling. They're not judging someone based on this. They're judging them based on actions, and those actions are generally taken by certain groups of people, whether it be race, religion, whatever. So they know who to watch, when to watch, how to watch them. And
you can't watch everybody.
You can't watch everybody. It'd be impossible. And generally speaking, the majority of what you see here are the Timothy McVeigh type things with the explosives, where it's one guy and he has a lot to say, and he puts it all over his Facebook page and his Instagram page and his Twitter page, and he posts his own blog and he has his manifesto. And, you know, now with the abilities of electronic surveillance, type in the wrong word on your laptop and somebody's like, oh, watch him. Mm-hmm. Start watching that guy. See what's going to happen next.
Whoops.
Yeah.
So you've mentioned before, like, okay, if an explosive attack's going to happen, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. There's probably nothing we can do to stop it.
Right.
Well, here's what I want to know. Based on your training and experience and within, obviously, right. you know, classified yeah. or whatever, within all that kind of information, what are some things that people can look for? Like, I remember, obviously, from like a military perspective, it's like everything's an IED, right?
Well, yeah. which is actually
like an IED.
Actually,
is that
true
a paper
story.
Bag? It's an IED. Like, everything's an IED, yeah. right? But from a I live in America with my mm-hmm. kids going to Walmart and stuff. What are some behaviors, or what are some obvious physical objects, items, etc.?
Right.
That are typically used. I mean, maybe to kind of preface this, I'll say this. Part of what we teach in self-defense is for looking for things that are out of place and allowing your brain to recognize things that are out of place. Like, for yeah. example, a pressure cooker sitting on a sidewalk. That was out of place.
That pressure cooker was in a backpack.
And yeah. it was in a backpack. So it's like...
So a bag, but a
I'm
backpack...
I'm using that as an obvious thing.
Right, yeah.
If I saw this very obvious thing that's very obviously
yeah,
in place...
Yeah, that doesn't belong
so
there.
How did they hide it? Well, they put it in a backpack. Yeah. Okay, a backpack.
Sitting on a sidewalk.
Sitting on a sidewalk.
Next to a trash can.
Next to a trash can.
At the finish line of a massive event. Not...
Does that stand out?
No.
It doesn't really stand
not
out.
Not at all.
So
because
what
it's not that... Like, it's not uncommon.
And if we used movie bomb finding methods, then there's always a wire attached to this shit, which of course there never is, right?
No.
Because everything
well,
remote.
Sometimes.
Well, sometimes. But most things now are remote detonated somehow, or cellularly detonated, so or they're pressure yeah. cooker type detonated where it's just...
Well, actually, that was a remote.
I thought
device.
It was a timer type situation. Okay. So you have things like that, obviously. So it's like, okay, we're not like necessarily looking for wires. Can there be wires with IED type?
Yeah, sure.
HMEs? Yeah, definitely. But how do we then identify something that's potentially out of place? Like, what do you look for?
Yeah. Don't look for things, look for people. Because if you go back and, because I did just a little bit. If you go back and you look at, we'll use Boston Marathon, right? Because that was fairly recent and fairly grotesque and fairly low tech. They actually got that off of, Taliban, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, somebody. They produced this online magazine that you can subscribe to. It's called Inspire. And it tells you how to make bombs. And the article that they actually used is called How to Make a Bomb in Your Mom's Kitchen. Okay. Right? But if you go back and you look at the videos and stuff, the guys, those two brothers, when they were walking around doing these things, they look different than everybody else in the crowd. Okay. Right? They were wearing sunglasses. They were like they just looked different and they stood out. And maybe it's because I profile or I don't know, but they looked different. They didn't quite look like they belonged. They weren't jovial, or they weren't, you know, like part of the crowd and having fun and cheering everybody on. They were just kind of in the background, kind of lurking. You know, look for that type of stuff. Look for guys that are super overdressed. If you want to look, you start looking to the suicide attacks. It's actually kind of hard to conceal a vest full of explosives under normal clothing.
So if I'm in an Ariana Grande concert, which we all know is one of my favorites.
Well, that was in a trash can.
Okay. So, but if I'm in an Ariana Grande concert, there's going to be someone associated with this explosive, right?
Maybe they dropped it off earlier that day. Maybe they paid a security guy off. Okay. And
but if I'm there and the person who's doing this is around, available, watching their work.
Yeah.
Within cellular range, making sure maybe it's a line of sight remote, cellular something ranges, like that. But I mean, whatever. Worldwide. Like, they want to make sure that this is going to happen, right?
Right.
I could look for, possibly, as you said, look for people, not things.
Just look for people that
who doesn't
don't
belong
fit,
there.
Right? Because, like, everybody has their normal group of people that they hang out with, people that they feel comfortable around, normal places that they go.
Yeah.
Start to pay a little bit more attention to those places. So let's use the park. There's a park not far from my house. Okay. Very big, nice community park. Perfect, beautiful soft target, right? Mm-hmm. Tons of kids, tons of families, tons of trash cans. Well, if I'm at the park with my wife and my kids and we're playing around and I notice this guy, and we'll say it's summertime here in Phoenix, and he's wearing a hooded sweatshirt and sunglasses, and he's got his hood pulled over his head, and I'm probably going to pay a little bit more attention to what he's doing, right? If he's being, like, super creepy, or if he's just kind of lurking, or, I mean, you start paying more attention to where you are and the people around you. And that, I know that sounds rather cliche, but that's pretty much the gist of how you're going to be able to help. And if you see something suspicious, so you see a backpack, right? Say you're at Walmart and there's a backpack in the shopping cart thing. That may or may not be suspicious. This may or may not be a thing. But if you think it's suspicious, take your wife, your kids, your family, go away. Go call the cops. Be like, hey, there's this backpack. It's out here. It sounds dumb, but if you see something that doesn't look right or feel right or you get the heebie-jeebies about it, call local law enforcement. That's kind of their job.
And I think that it seems more like lately, I remember when that whole first thing came out, you know, with after 9/11, if you see something, say something kind of concept.
It's
right?
True. If you see it, say it.
If you see something, say something. Within reason, obviously. It's not necessarily about ratting out everybody. But look, we all know what doesn't belong.
Yeah, exactly.
One of these things is not like the other, right? We know that something or someone in particular doesn't belong in this environment, you know? So to go back to a concert, I'm at any concert. And there's somebody there. Everyone else is having a good time, dancing, singing, enjoying themselves. And there's this one person that's not. Or a couple of people that aren't. And they're looking around, and they're really watching everybody. Like, that is not normal behavior.
They're sweating profusely.
Yeah, there's nerves that are happening. They're wearing weird
clothes. They're agitated. They seem very agitated for what's going on.
They're wearing clothes inappropriate for the situation. They have articles that are inappropriate for the situation. They keep doing odd things that don't belong in this environment. So many times, people are like, ooh, I don't want to be paranoid. Oh, I don't want to say anything. Well, what if he's having a bad day? Well, and we start trying to rationalize our way right
out of
that
kind
of
stuff. Then who's freaking paying your bills? Right? No. I don't give a shit.
So it's like, dude, I don't mind going, hey, this guy, you know, going to security or law enforcement, whatever, going, those people, that guy, that woman, that kid, whatever, one of these things is not like the other. That thing does not belong.
Mm-hmm.
right? And then they can go over and then they can potentially stop a crime or at least just make a contact. It's not like they're going to run over there and tase the shit out of them, but they are going to go over there and definitely have a contact with them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's an important element, I think, too, to look at is that because of our very heavy presence of federal law enforcement, a lot of our local law enforcement, not everybody, but mm-hmm. a lot of our local law enforcement also been trained in some of these concepts.
Mm-hmm.
And so they understand what potentially some of these threats are. And they're going to be a lot more realistic about it now than they used to be because, you know, 9/11.
So there was actually this giant misconception about the IEDs didn't exist before like 2003, which is when the term IED was actually 2003 or 2005. Anyhow, early 2000s, Iraq, Afghanistan, mm-hmm. IED, that's when the term was actually coined and became mainstream.
Right.
Before that, it was just pipe bombs, basically, right? So most major metropolitan areas have their own bomb squad. Those dudes are always at work, man. Those dudes are always on calls responding to stuff.
And knowing a couple of those guys myself, they got some pretty crazy stories.
Yeah, like all kinds of weird shit. But pipe bombs are not an irregular occurrence at all because they're mm-hmm. easy to make. Give it a Google. Buy some black powder. There. Now you can make a pipe bomb. Pipe bombs are super simple to make. And most of the time, those types of devices are still the most common calls that a lot of these guys are getting, like simple stuff like that. And it's all about, oh, well, my ex-wife, you know, custody battle, or this guy banged my cousin's sister, or, you know, it's like stupid stuff. And the devices are generally relatively basic and very simple and not very effective, and most of the time actually don't work.
Yeah, I was going to say, most of the time, historically, they typically don't function.
So, you know, it's local law enforcement bomb squads and stuff are very well versed in this stuff, and their budgets are they have fantastic budgets and fantastic equipment. You know, we just finished up earlier this year. There's a big multi. Well, let me get this right. Joint Service Multi-Agency National Level Training Exercise that gets put on every year for military EOD units and civilian HDS, which is the hazardous device, the civilian bomb squad guys. Mm. And we all come together and we go over, you know, new TTPs, new things that we're seeing. A lot of it's funded and a lot of the information comes from DHS because they see so many different things, you know. Laugh at airport security all you want. You'd be happy those guys are there. That's all I'll say about that. So you get all of these groups together and we share knowledge, we share TTPs, we share this is how we do things and this is how they do things. Because you're starting to see a shift, especially along some of the border states. I think that's probably our most likely next big threat for us. You know, the Arizona, New Mexico, Southern California, Texas, like the border region states. Mm-hmm. Starting to see a little bit more activity of this type from the cartels and along the borders and stuff like that. So I think that's probably our next big threat, and it's like most other things. It's so far removed from normal people. Like we've never had any major, there's never been a major attack like that here in Phoenix that I know of.
Not yet.
A couple of years ago, they had the flashlight bomb scare. Mm-hmm. A couple of people, they took the old school, which everybody knows, the big 6-volt battery style flashlights, packed them with a little bit of explosives and left them in random places. The first one got found at like the St. Vincent de Paul's because it was in a donation box, and the guy picked it up and went to turn it on and it detonated in his hand. Like he lost a couple of fingers. And then another one was found, and then another one was found out in the street. And there was kind of a, you know.
It was kind of a big deal.
It was kind of a big deal. So that was probably some probing to see what was going to happen and see how it was going to be handled.
I remember we had that discussion about that and whether or not it was probing.
So, you know, the large-scale attacks, that you're still going to see those happen at these major events. The concerts, the marathons, the giant venues where they feel like they can instill the most amount of terror. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where you're going to see these things. And yeah, it'd be great for me to say, oh, if you look for that guy with that backpack or what, you're look for stuff that doesn't belong. If it doesn't feel right, just leave. I don't care how much money you paid for the tickets. If you've got, you saw a guy or something looked out of place and you're just uncomfortable, just leave. Because the majority of the deaths that are happening from these things are not from the actual explosive, because most of them have been pretty small. So the Boston one was gunpowder in a pressure cooker with a remote device. The Olympic Park thing was, I don't remember what that one was, but it was a backpack, small device. The Oklahoma City, obviously kind of a big deal. The first World Trade Center attack, obviously kind of a big deal. Thankfully, those guys also did not understand explosive wave propagation, or the trade centers would have come down in 93, like completely come down in 93 with what was in there. So the there was one in New York in Times Square. A dude parked his SUV, and there was a device in that. Thankfully, he was kind of retarded, or that would have been an absolute freaking disaster. So I'll give you guys just a little bit of information. And you can get this off of the off of DHS.gov. Look through their they have like papers, basically they're short white papers for people to download and look over. So most of these are the most common explosives that they have listed on here. So you've got ammonium nitrate and fuel oil, which is basically fertilizer and diesel fuel. There's one called TATP. It's a triacetone triperoxide. So coincidentally, anything you want, any of the homemade explosives, you can go to Walmart, Circle K, Home Depot. Like, this stuff is readily available. It's not super complicated. You don't see a lot in the U.S. You don't see a lot of military munitions being used or military explosives being used. Overseas, you see a little bit more of the military type explosives.
What about the kind of stuff that they're using, like at at like the Ariana Grande concert?
I don't know what that one was, but I would assume.
Or what about the Boston Marathon bombing?
So the Boston Marathon bombing was actually smokeless powder.
So it's available, right?
Readily available.
Available stuff.
Yeah, okay. You walk into Sportsman's and buy it, or Cabela's, or order it online for that. I mean, you know, it's readily available stuff. Yeah, smokeless powder is probably one of the most common here. And then you get the fertilizer-based ones. But generally speaking, here's kind of the sizes of the explosive capacity of things. So like a small package or a letter, you're looking at about a pound. Your outdoor evacuation.
What website are you on here?
DHS.gov.
Okay.
And then I don't remember exactly how I found the National Academies and Homeland Security. It's a fact sheet from the National Academies and the Department of Homeland Security.
Okay. So, again, this is public information.
Yeah, this is totally...
Nothing special we're giving away here.
So, Jesus Christ. So, basically, it goes through, and there's a little chart on here where you've got, like, an envelope and a pipe bomb and a FedEx package.
Holy shit.
Like, a vest or container bombs.
That's a lot of information.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of good info in here. Small cars, full-size cars, vans, pickups. You know, and it kind of gives you an idea of distances. Whatever you think your distance should be away from an explosive doublet, and then keep going. It's basically my advice.
As far away as possible can be.
As far away as possible. So we've established that pay attention to what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to the people in your area. Now, we got about 10 minutes or so left. Let's talk a little bit more about what to do in the aftermath and what to look for.
Okay.
So, and I'll kind of go... So you sent me a couple of articles when we first started talking about doing this show, and I read them, and the guy was not completely wrong, and I don't remember exactly how, but basically, you as a normal person, do not confront these people. Don't. You don't get paid to do that. Your job is to keep you and your family alive. It's not to confront people that you think are terrorists, because you're probably going to either, they're going to preempt the attack, they're going to shoot you, or you're... And you'll never know what happened. But when something happens like this, so let's say you're at the Ariana Grande concert. If you cannot be an asset and help people, leave. Don't fall into the herd mentality, right? Look and see where everyone else is going and find a better exit and leave that way, because you're probably going to get trampled to death. Because the mass panic sets in, people get run over, people don't care, right? Especially if you're in a giant freaking stadium and something explodes. Everybody's going to rush for one freaking door. If you're not hurt in the initial blast, everything, it's going to be super loud. God, it's going to be loud. Your hearing's going to, you may or may not be able to hear anything. It's going to be dirty and dusty, and people are panicking, and lights are going off, and just if you're not immediately injured in this, stand still for a minute, collect your bearings, collect your family, collect your friends, make sure you've got your shit together, and then go to an exit that's not already being overrun.
So, if you can't be an asset, how can you be an asset?
Carry a fucking med kit.
Okay.
That's how you're
back. It was good.
That's how you're an asset in these situations. Okay. You like the Boston Marathon bombing is perfect example.
You're not going to kill these people with a gun, is what you're saying.
No. Yeah. And even if you do, it doesn't matter. These people already don't value your life, so they don't value theirs. They don't care.
Well, I think the reason I bring that up is because so many people are like, well, you know, I always carry a gun because of this and that, but then they hesitate to carry a medical kit, which
is really
shit, beat this horse to death, I think, on this show. But
having
like,
actually
carry a freaking medical kit already.
Yeah, having actually been blown up, my gun was useless to me.
Right.
Like, it was completely useless to me. My medical training, however, 100% applicable. Right, the one and only time I've done a no-life bullshit assessment on a guy was in the immediate aftermath of an explosion. My gun was useless. His gun was useless. Everybody's guns were useless because this wasn't a complex thing. This was a simple boom, right? If you don't carry a med kit, for God's sakes, at least go take a class. Learn how to be an asset. Don't be a liability. Don't be a panicky turd burglar that's trying to trample people. Learn how to be an asset in these situations.
So that's a way to be an asset.
Yeah.
Another way to be an asset, maybe eyes open.
Stay out of everybody's way.
Stay out of everyone's way and keep your eyes open.
Yeah. Because you may have seen something.
What about secondaries? What do you think the risk is of secondaries in a civilian attack?
So that's kind of why I...
That's like a huge risk in the military world.
Yeah, it's a guaranteed thing in the military or in the combat environment. Haven't seen a lot of it here in the attacks that we've seen. Is it possible? Sure. Which is why I said, hey, go when you leave, you know, stop where you're at unless you're immediately injured. Collect your thoughts, collect your bearings, pick an exit that's not already full of people and go that way. Because the purpose of the secondary is first responders and more people if they can get them. So they will funnel, like you'll get funneled through a doorway, right? And then somewhere on the other side of that doorway, there's another funnel point, and then, oh God, there's another device, right? So if you can, avoid following the crowd when you leave an area. If you get outside of the building, pick an area where not a lot of people are. Go that way. You know, you have no legal reason to stay or anything, unless you can be an asset, and then if you choose to be an asset, be an asset. But if you're only going to be a liability, just go away. Just
gather your people.
Yeah, gather your friends, your family, your belongings.
And create as much distance as you can.
Yeah, like much possible distance
however
as
much you
can.
Think it is, it's
way more.
That.
Yeah, it's way more. Just go. Just keep going.
Go.
Distance will save your life.
And especially, you know, we see with, as you have international travel, and so for those of our listeners who travel internationally, like regardless of what your environment's going to be, whether you think it's a civilized country or not, if you have a primary detonation, the likelihood of there being a secondary, especially depending on your location, is there. It's there. And
it's
as
an absolute
aid
possible.
Workers and responders continue to filter in, that increases the likelihood of the detonation of the secondary. So being right there, we'll call it ground zero, when all the help shows up, all the professional help shows up, is as a bad guy when I would detonate a secondary.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Look at... they actually do a really good job of this type of thing in The Kingdom.
Yes.
The Jamie Foxx movie a few years ago.
Yeah.
Watch a couple of those attack scenes, and it really, really kind of drives home the real threat and the real possibility of the secondary and the purpose of the secondary. Because the secondary is to actually destroy as many and prevent the recovery and the personnel. You know, it's to destroy first responders.
Right.
You know, so...
Okay. Now, out of what we talked about medical stuff, what are this may seem kind of obvious, but what are some very specific type, or maybe not specific, what are some type of injuries that people are likely to have to deal with following post-blast?
Okay. So this will depend greatly on your distance from the detonation. It will depend.
Injuries that I can handle in the field, too. I want to make that okay. caveat.
Oh, well.
Not just the kind of stuff where I'm like, shit, we need to go to the hospital.
Right. So you're going to look, you're probably looking at a lot of lacerations. Explosive amputation is a real possibility, depending on how close you are. You're also looking at busted eardrums, massive amounts of lacerations and cuts and bruises and things like that. That kind of, like, basically all of the external stuff you can mostly handle there if you have the ability to do it. The other things you're going to look at, you're looking at traumatic brain injury, which is not, you know, there's nothing you can do for that there. You're looking at, like, all of your hollow organs. You're looking at organ failure because basically they collapse because of the pressure differences.
Right, overpressure.
Yeah, or they burst. They collapse or they burst. You'll know.
You can't do anything about that, really.
Yeah, nothing you can really do about that without extreme high level of care.
That was the craziest part for me the first time I experienced a real explosion was feeling it. Because
you
don't get that across in the movies. But
no.
Even if you're super far away, like you feel it in your chest when it goes. Yeah. And you're like, oh, boy.
So, but you're mostly looking at bleeding control is your most likely thing for the people that have survived that you can handle as a normal person. Not inside of massive medical facility.
Okay.
With the ability to diagnose.
So bleeding control, penetrating trauma.
And shock.
Yeah. Shock.
Shock.
You know, people are... Hearing is going to be a big thing. So you're going to have to speak very clearly.
Carry note cards on you and just write.
Look someone in the eye.
Hand signals.
Hand signals. Look someone in the eye.
Which, by the way, is a type of communication that I don't think we've really ever covered on the show, but I think bears a 30-second bit here, which is... For the people that you spend the most time with in your life, you should develop some kind of basic hand signal. So even like distance, like I'm with my wife at the park, we have some hand signals that mean certain things.
Yeah.
Right? Like we have a hand signal that means I'm taking a kid to the bathroom. Right? Yeah. Because we're way across the other side of the park.
And there's also one that says I'm holding a kid and shooting a bad guy.
Yeah. There's another hand signal that says
poop.
You need to GTFO because some bad shit's going down. I'll meet you back at the car, right? There's there's things like that. So develop some really simple hand signals with the people you spend time with the most. It just mean you don't have to have a whole freaking giant array of them. You don't have to have a military list of hand signals, but two or three, a half a dozen at the most.
So actually, if you can get your hands on one, they make like quick reference cards, and I've got one that's it's really stupid because it's in like 7 different languages, but it's in Arabic, it's in Farsi, it's in English, and anyhow, but it shows like pictures of things, right? And you can
open it up
and have someone point to it. So if you're in this situation, you obviously you could be screaming as loud as you want.
There's like guy with gun.
Yeah. Dude, people are just looking at you like nothing's happening, and you see them, and you're like. You get this thing out, and you can get a wallet size, and it just opens up, you know, and like, hey, does it hurt here? Like, what happened? Did you see anything?
Show me on this doll where they touched
you. Yeah, well, not to be gross about it, but yeah, essentially that's what you're doing is you're trying to diagnose or investigate what happened as much as possible.
That would be a great time to have casualty cards on you because most of them, at least the military ones that I've seen, have a body diagram on them.
Yeah, that's
super
true
easy for people to identify on their body where it hurts. Yeah.
Where does it hurt?
So, basically, pay attention to what you're doing. Get some medical training, and
don't be afraid to point out things that don't belong.
Don't be afraid to
direct, law enforcement personnel over to someone that definitely one of these things is not like the other, and that thing does not belong, and that's an important aspect.
And in the longer term, if you're involved in an incident like this, go to the hospital, regardless of how you feel. Oh, I'm fine, and everything's okay. Go to the hospital, get checked out, get a CAT scan, get an MRI, and then follow up with your doctors. Get a TBI screening, because that shit will eventually catch up with you because blast damage is cumulative. It never goes away. Once it happens, it's happened.
Yeah, post blast damage is
so
a serious thing.
You know.
All right.
That's pretty much all I got, unless you have any more pointed questions.
I think that's it, man. I think we did a really good job. We're out of time
15
anyway.
15 seconds.
So if you guys have any questions that we didn't cover on the show, or you find this particular topic interesting, let us know. Email us info@trainingaz.com. And, of course, you always have an opportunity to support a great veteran-owned business that John owns, Redwire Gear, which makes our rifle slings and our med kits and our ear pro covers and does a lot of custom work for us
and
other people.
Not to mention his sunny disposition.
Not to mention his particularly good attitude 42% of the time.
Every time.
So, awesome. Thanks, John. I appreciate
you. Yeah, no worries, man.
Appreciate all the info, man.
All right, what's coming up next, Glenn?
Well, first of all, happy Father's Day.
Oh, yeah.
To all those badass fathers out there who do what they do every day to keep moving forward and getting better. And if you're a deadbeat dad, fuck you. All right? All right.
If you don't chew Big Red.
You don't pay your child support on time.
Yeah.
Nope.
If you don't think taking care of kids is important, you're a piece of shit.
All word.
Right? All right. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you and get all of our awesome opinions and experiences right up close and personal in your face.
You can experience
and all of our juvenile,
juvenile
mentality.
And our frat boy juvenile mentality.
Our frat boy-like attitude.
There may be free beer.
You can bring us out to train with you. If you want some hosting information about how to get our training programs out to your area, send us an email, info@trainingaz.com. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and Instagram under The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, and Redwire Gear. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group, so make sure that you check out the other shows available on that network. And next week, we're going to have Kirk from Mobilize Rescue, which is a really, really cool program and med kit system that if you haven't looked at, you should look at before you listen to the show because it's pretty freaking cool. I'm going to show you guys the cool program afterwards, after the show. But Kirk from Mobilize Rescue is going to come on about using modern technology to help us save lives and help increase our medical capability in the field, not just in the hospital, but in the field. So look forward to that show next week. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.